You're listening to the official EFL podcast.
Oh, O'Connell's mistake. McGinn. Green!
Pots isolated. Lonnie goes for goal. And what a goal!
Whitbread with a header. Alexander tries an instinctive volley. Oh, what a goal that is! That is one of the greatest goals you will ever see at Wembley from Gary Alexander to put Millwall level. And just look.
Hello again and welcome to the official EFL podcast and another show to savour for you this week. Coming up, we have all the reaction to the incredible story of Wickham's promotion to the Sky Bet Championship. And speaking of the Championship, Jubby McEnough is here to preview an exhilarating end of the regular season. But first, here's a reminder of what happened in that Sky Bet League One playoff final.
The EFL Sky Bet Playoffs.
Behind for a Wickham corner, and they can be a threat from these set pieces. He goes to Jacobson. Headed in by Anthony Stewart. Wickham have done it again from a corner. Here's Sykes with the ball in. The cross that drifted and drifted. Sykes draws Oxford United level. Oh, and it runs all the way through for Henry. And it was there for Taylor to tap home. And somehow, Oxford fluff their lines. And it runs through to Onyedinma. Must be a penalty, surely. Referee's given it. Eastwood came out, made a crazy decision. And Onyedinma is so quick. He's so quick that he got there. Jacobson will take it. Had one saved in the semi-final. 6 of 8 for him this season. Biggest spot kick of his career. And he thrashes it home. Taylor. Wheeler. Tried to add another playoff final goal. He'd have been far better running to the corner. As we still play. Stewart came to win it. Wickham! Championship. It is third time lucky for Gareth Ainsworth in a playoff final. What celebrations, what emotion at an empty Wembley. Wickham into the championship for the first time in their history.
Hold on. Tell me what we did, because I don't know what we did. Tell me what we just did.
Well, you've got yourself a place in the championship.
I don't think they heard you in the back.
Hit me up on WhatsApp.
Tell me what we did.
You've got yourself a place in the championship.
Oi, Dan, look. Dan, let me calm down. First and foremost, I want to thank God.
Thank God.
Because today he made the impossible possible.
Amen.
And my next story, 4 years ago, 4 years ago, I stood in front of you and I was technically unemployed.
Four years ago, I was here and I was technically unemployed.
That's correct.
And what'd you say?
Let me tell you something. The only person that can hit me up on WhatsApp this time is Klopp. So we can celebrate together. You get me?
Yes, the beast ending that package there. Well, I'm delighted to say two of Wickham's biggest cheerleaders on Monday night now join me in club director Pete Couig and their most famous fan, former BBC breakfast host Bill Turnbull. We'll start with you, Bill. How big a moment in your life was Monday night?
Well, I don't know about my wife, but certainly in my life, it was a it was a just massive in my sort of football memory, the greatest night. So easily the greatest night. It was fantastic, and I felt hugely privileged to be there. I was just sad that no Wickham fans or Oxford fans could get into the game for understandable reasons. But that was, well, I hope it wasn't a once in a lifetime thing, because I'd like to see us doing it, getting into the Premiership and maybe into the Champions League. So who knows? But so to this day,
it was,
got to have ambition, Pete. Got to have ambition. So to date, it was just outstanding and emotional. I cried. I'm not ashamed to say I cried at the end.
Lofty ambitions. Pete, I know you've only been involved in the club for a short period of time, officially came in back in February, and you're already part of this. Did you ever imagine this would happen when you first began in pursuing the club? Your interest in pursuing Wickham?
Yeah, obviously one of the biggest reasons we wanted to get involved in lower league English football is the promotion relegation. And obviously the preferred component of that is promotion. Yeah, we absolutely had the dream that we wanted Wickham to be in the championship. But did we think it was going to happen in the first year? Not last July, but fairly early in the season after we started playing, it was very apparent that there was something special going on with this club this year. The changing room, I've been involved in sports teams my entire life. I played football since I was five. And have been involved in a couple of very, very special teams. And it just kind of reminded me of those, it was the brotherhood, between all the players that nothing could break them. We even had a rough patch, that no one lost focus. And so, it was, 12 months ago, no way I thought we would be here right now. But 8-9 months ago, we weren't allowed to say it out loud. We needed to stick to the core message. Our original focus for this year was just staying in League One.
A lot of it, Ben, was down to belief and having faith. And I first met this guy in the cap here. In a pub in Ipswich, when we were going to the game at Portman Road, I think it was before Christmas, I think. And so we met and we chatted, and I thought, he's really interesting, this guy, you know. And he was talking to the fans. He was completely unlike any sort of board member I'd ever met before of any club. And then we went to the game, and we got a sort of controversial nil-all draw, but we were going to take that. And at the end, in the car park, I saw him. He grabbed me by the shoulders. He said, "It's going to happen, man." And I thought...
I probably said dude.
It's gonna happen. I thought, well, yeah, okay, it is gonna happen. And so much of this, I think, was built on belief amongst the players with Gareth and the fans. I just kept telling if we believe, it will happen. And blimey, it did.
But Bill, what was going through your mind though when Joe Jacobson stepped up for that penalty, especially after he missed that one in the semi-finals?
Oh Lord, I was thinking, Joe, don't signal too early which direction you're going to kick it in, because I think that's what happened with the penalty against Fleetwood. I mean, he's a brilliant player, Joe, and he's a brilliant penalty taker. But at Fleetwood, he went for position rather than power, and he raised his arm and leant over, and the keeper could see. But this time, he raised his arm, leant over, put it straight down the middle. So Joe's a very intelligent player. He knows what he's doing. And I felt for him, because so much pressure on a player in that position. But he's a very cool, calm, collected guy. And he did it. So I was pretty certain he was going to score. But I was also in my mind thinking, okay, well then psychologically, if he doesn't score and it's 1-1, we're going to get extra time and it's going to be an Oxford favour. You know, all that stuff you calculate in your mind. Unfortunately, we didn't have to. But I thought, oh, here we are. But now we've got, 9 minutes to go. We should be able to do this.
But Pete, how important, I mean, we've touched on it with Bill, but how important was the manager to your family getting involved at Wickham, though? He was, you know, certainly been something special for this club for such a long time as well now, the EFL's longest serving manager, of course.
It was everything. Anybody who's met Gareth, within seconds, you realize how genuine of an individual he is. Very quickly understood how good he was with man management, and really creating the type of atmosphere where winning and is a result that's expected. Just because of the absolute faith and belief that he builds within the entire squad.
Bill, is he now simply the best manager in Wickham's history? And what is it about him that makes him so special?
Well, previously, Wickham fans have always referred to St. Martin, Martin O'Neill, the man who took Wickham into the Football League and further up. And Martin, on the telly the other night, handed over the mantle of Wickham's greatest ever manager quite very graciously to Gareth, because what, and Wickham fans would agree, Gareth has done extraordinary things. Think back 6 years, we were one goal away from falling out of the Football League. We won at Torquay, but if Bristol Rovers had not hit the bar and had scored against Mansfield and won that game, we'd have been relegated. Next season then, though, you know, it all changes. And then we get promoted to League One, two seasons in League One, get promoted again. There's only one person who's responsible for all of that. You know, other people have taken part in it. Blooms has been along the journey all the way, and Bayo and lots of other players. But one person has been there all the way, and that is Gareth. And if one person was going to have the character and the dynamism to inspire people, it's him, because he's different, isn't he? He is a, you know, he does, he's a rock and roller. You know, who else has got long hair like that and sort of stands on the touchline with his red cowboy boots and stuff? He breaks the mold, which is absolutely, absolutely fine. That's what you want. You want character and you want love. And he has lots of love.
That hits upon it perfectly, Bill. And that's exactly what I think we fell in love with. You know, being students of the game, we understand that the truly great clubs in English history have been built around the manager. And just to see that situation here, and Bill told you the story, you know, from Torquay away to this point, it was just readily apparent that there was something special going on the football side. And it gave us the opportunity to just concentrate on the business side, because that's our job. The football is Gareth's job. Our job is to improve the business, to be able to improve his budget every single year and give him a better chance at not just survival, but promotion.
And Pete, you're obviously in the Championship now, as we can see with the trophy just behind you there. I think it's probably fair to say you may be the smallest club in there. How much are you relishing being a part of that challenge?
We're the biggest little club in the world now, aren't we?
I'd agree with that.
You know, I mean, we're in the Championship is the fifth most watched league in the world. Our budget for next year will be possibly the smallest budget in the Championship forever. You know, it's a tremendous opportunity for us to take advantage of the football fortune and invest in the infrastructure of the club. You know, we don't have an academy. We don't have a prospect team. We don't have reserves. It gives us the ability to invest in what Gareth and Dabo have been doing for other clubs for the last few years and did for this club before they had to close the academy because they ran out of money. So the fact that we are able to look at the turnover that's going to come in over the next year and be able to invest that smartly in the infrastructure to give us a platform to succeed in the future is a dream come true, really.
I think what's important to remember here also is the stability that the club now has. So with COVID-19, a lot of clubs, sadly, are going to be in real financial difficulty. There's no doubt about that. And I think people are going to be shocked to see what happens to clubs over the next couple of seasons. We're in a very fortunate position that having got the Coohig family involved, we know that we're stable. You know, that's not going to happen to Wickham Wanderers. It's going to be okay. Win, lose or draw, the club is going to be okay. You know, they're not going to walk away and say, oh, well, never mind. We've had our chips. Are we, Pete? We've had our chips and that's it.
Wickham till I die, Bill. Wickham till I die.
So we're going to, it's very heartening to know that that is a solid platform on which to build.
Bill, for you as well, I mean, I talked about this off camera with you, but how special will it be to welcome such big names to Adams Park on a regular basis?
Well, we played half of them before, to be honest. You know, Queen's Park Rangers, Brentford, if they don't go up, Reading, Cardiff, Stoke. We've beaten Fulham before now. So half of the teams in that division, I know it's daunting, but it shouldn't be frightening because we've done it many times before. So just people think, oh, it's the Championship. Oh, I think it'll be okay. It'll be lovely. It'll be great. It'll be great fun. And there's no doubt about it. You know, people always used to say to me, oh, yeah, Bill supports Wickham. Funny little club, isn't it? Isn't that sweet? You know, why do you support a lower league club? And I would tell them because it's about being part of a community and a club having a heart and all that sort of thing. But now we've got that, but we've got the other thing as well. So we're all going to enjoy it. We're all going to enjoy it massively. And I think it's going to be better for us than people imagine. Remember, last season, one or two people had Wickham down for relegation at the beginning of the season. And they will again next season. And Pete will say, bring it on.
And Pete, final question to you. How are you going to keep them up next season, you know, against all the odds? I'm guessing, you know, keeping hold of the manager is one of the most important factors.
Absolutely. Well, one of the things that gives me that same belief and faith is when you think about teams that go up and survive, they keep the core. They have that special atmosphere. They have the good changing room. They don't try to, you know, the toughest thing in the world to do is to go up and try to invest in higher priced players and mix them into what was a very good squad and expect better results. And so everybody at Wickham has the absolute faith and belief that our guys that we have on this squad for next year have the ability to do things that are unexpected. And so is it going to be a tough test? Absolutely. The player budget is going to be, we're going to be a small percentage of the teams that we're playing against. But Wickham has beaten bigger teams before and we're going to do it again. And that's because we got a great gaffer. He's realized one of his dreams by taking a club into the championship. And I think it's going to be very, 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 very difficult to take him away from Wickham.
That's not going to happen. I'll tell you, the fixture I'm most looking forward to, Ben, is one you might not expect, but my daughter is getting married on August the 1st to a lovely fella who's a Derby County supporter. And over the past few seasons, he's said, you know, how are Wickham doing? I said, you know, how are they doing down there? Well, he's going to find out because we're going to play them twice. And I'm looking forward hugely to going up to Derby and having a sort of family outing. It's just going to be great.
Should be some fantastic family outings for you next season, Bill. Guys, thanks both once again and welcome to the Championship and good luck next season.
Thank you.
Cheers. Thank you.
The Sky Bet Championship.
Here's Ayling. And he cuts it back. It's Hernandez! He has done it! Oh, look at the scenes! And a priceless goal so late in the day for Leeds United.
Emiliano. It's a clever ball from Emiliano. And they've struggled already. Less than 4 minutes gone. And Watkins gives Brentford the lead.
No matter what happened, we won 8 on a bounce, playing some top football, and I actually think it's 8 well-deserved wins, which is even more remarkable, I must say. Of course we want more, of course we aim higher, of course we want to win on Saturday, and no matter what is thrown towards us, we are ready for it. That's the beauty of this league.
That's Knockhart! Who thunders the strike against the crossbar and holds his head.
This is brilliant from Knockhart. Just hasn't been in the game in the second half, as much as Fulham would like it, but what an effort that is.
Now Burn, flying forwards. And it's a wonderful finish. An 8th goal for Wigan, and that's the best of them all.
Listen, obviously you've got to pay the lads a, you know, massive pat on the back. I think it's been well documented what we're going through at the minute. That appetite for the game first and foremost is fantastic, and you know, as a manager, when you've got that appetite, it's great to see. You know, whatever went our way tonight, and you know, it's nice to win like that. So, but also we must respect Hull a little bit in that as well.
Do you know, again for our supporters, do you know, a massive thank you. Do you know, they dug deep into the pockets and raised £150,000. You know, for a town like Wigan in today's day and age, that's remarkable, and we thank them from the bottom of our hearts. You know, we'll just rest up now, get as refreshed as we can, and it'll be a really difficult game at Charlton, but we're looking forward to it.
So our championship expert, the one and only Joby Mackenough, now joins me. We start with this promotion race, of course. Two draws from West Brom, two wins for Brentford, only 1 point between them now. This is all to play for now, isn't it?
Yeah, we've spoken about Brentford and how well they've done since the restart. Seven wins on the bounce now. And I think from their point of view, they're absolutely flying. You know, they've played really well in one games. You know, I covered their game last night. They weren't fantastic, but they got the job done. And they'll be confident of winning the next two games, that's for sure. So there's certainly a lot of pressure now on West Brom. You know, I felt that that draw against Fulham was a big, big one for them, because looking at their fixtures with four or five games to go, I felt like that was going to be the big, big game for them if they could overcome it relatively unscathed, which they did. Of course, they would have loved to have won the game. They still managed to take something from it. And I think given their last two games, again, I've touched on that. And, you know, if you were to ask somebody what two games you would want to be able to get up, with the greatest respect to those teams, Huddersfield and QPR, you know, for me, there would be two games that you'd be looking at taking maximum points to get yourself promoted.
Is the worry, though, for West Brom, if they are pipped to the post, if they do drop points in either of those games and Brentford win, it'll be tough for them in a playoff to campaign to get over that, because they have been in the top two for the vast majority of the season?
Yeah, it's a big psychological blow. You know, their whole aim, their focus is automatic promotion. They're not necessarily looking at the playoffs at this stage. So for them, and we've seen it in the past, Leeds last year, you know, when you fall out of that top two and end up in the playoffs and you come against a team that's got a bit more momentum and maybe didn't have that expectation of automatic promotion or more happy to be in the playoffs, that can be an issue. So for me, I certainly feel from their point of view, it's imperative that they get in that top two and get automatic promotion, because the playoffs, as we all know, can be very, very difficult.
Yeah, on paper as well, as you mentioned, it's a good game for them playing Huddersfield next on Friday, a team that aren't in good form at all at the minute. It is, you know, is having a game like that good for the confidence and getting it back, because they simply have to win both these games now, don't they?
Yeah, you know, you have to be careful, you know, and again, you know, I say this with the greatest respect to those other teams that they're playing, and knowing the championship as I do, there isn't going to be one team. We've seen it with the results, even teams that have got nothing to play for, you know, the Reddins, you know, they still go out and want to win. They want to perform. Everyone's got something to play for. Lads are playing for their futures, for their careers, and Huddersfield are no different. You know, they need some points. So I'm not for a minute saying it will be an easy game at all. You know, they're scrapping for their lives. And, you know, one thing we know with the Cowley brothers, they'll have them well organised, well set up, you know, to stop them winning. For them, you know, any point's a good one at this stage of the season. So I do expect it to be a tough game. But certainly, again, for me, if you're talking about going up and being automatic promoted challengers, then these are games that you must win to do that.
Eight wins in a row now, though, for Brentford. Is it inevitable that they'll win these last two games now, do you think?
You can never say they're guaranteed to win them. Again, you know, you can only look at the form, you know, eight games in total. For me, since the restart is a real big one to look at, because there's been teams that have faltered. Again, the biggest thing for me is the fact they've been able to not play at their best and win games. That's been an issue for Brentford in the past, their consistency, where we know the ability of especially those forward players, but now they've got a real defensive still to them, you know, in those last seven games and eight in total. I think they've kept six clean sheets. And, you know, that's a big, big part of Thomas Frank's transformation, I think, of Brentford. And certainly moving forward, if they are to end up in the playoffs or even go and catch West Brom, that defensive side's going to be a key, key factor in them doing that.
Yeah, Ollie Watkins, of course, on fire at the other end as well. 25 goals for the season now after scoring the other night. But Leeds player tonight as well, of course, still under a little bit of pressure themselves. A lot of people tuning in to this will have already watched the game. But how much belief will there be in that squad after that dramatic win against Swansea and that Stoke thrashing that you, of course, covered?
Yeah, again, for me, they're big signs. You know, this stage of the season, you know, I say it time after time, is about getting results, however you do it. Of course, you want to go out, you want to play fantastic football as they did against Stoke, you know, and win games at a canter, which they did really, and play all the free-flowing football. but that's not always possible, particularly against those teams that are scrapping away. So again, to get that real last gasp winner, you know, you get more from them games, funnily enough, because you've had to really work and dig out a result. And you know, Pablo Hernandez, obviously, again, a top player, one they're very fortunate to have in their side. And, you know, he's been a real talisman for them. They're sort of nursing him through, you know, the remaining games. And he's been key to getting those results. And again, for me, they're pretty much there. You know, they just need to get themselves over the line, which at times can be the hardest thing to do. But I fully expect them to get a result against Barnsley and really put them on the brink of getting themselves promoted.
Yeah, as you say, a win tonight will put them on the brink of that promotion. Does this game in a way suit them as well, coming up against Barnsley, because obviously they have to go for the win. They have to, you know, go for, as opposed to a draw, they have to go for all 3 points in this one for them to have a chance of staying up.
Yeah, I think we've seen, if there has been a problem for Leeds at times this year, it has been when teams have sat back and made it difficult for them to break down. Barnsley are not in that position, really. Of course, they go out there. I don't expect them to be gung-ho and open, but they certainly have to go and get points and win games. And again, we've seen with Leeds, when they do open up teams, when teams give them a bit too much space or they're chasing games, then they can be devastating. So it's a real fine balance for Barnsley to really have enough impetus going forward and trying to score and win the game and not leaving themselves exposed, you know, and really opening up to what Leeds like to do.
Yeah, it's funny how these games fall as well, isn't it? And Sunday, Leeds face Derby, which obviously could be quite symbolic as well after they issued that heartache on Leeds last season in the playoffs. Derby effectively out of the playoff race now, though. But is spoiling the party again part of the motivation for them, do you think?
Yeah, most definitely. Again, every single footballer up and down the country has got their personal pride. You know, they're all playing for their shirts. Again, you know, they're playing to impress the manager, the fans that will be watching at home, and no one's going to roll over. And particularly in this fixture, with everything that's gone on in the past, obviously Spygate, everything that came with that, and then obviously the playoff situation and Derby knocking Leeds out. So, you know, I think it works both ways. Leeds would love to do it against Derby this year. And at the same time, I think Derby would love to stop them, at least for the time being, you know, getting that promotion, certainly against them.
Let's turn our attention now to that place, that race, sorry, for the playoffs. It feels like Forest are in there now, but feels as if it's between Cardiff, Millwall and Swansea going for that final spot. Who do you think is going to make it out of those three?
For me, Cardiff are in the driving seat, very much so. I think, you know, with the squad that they've got, again, that's been a big factor for me since the restart, being able to make a few changes, having that impact coming off the bench. You know, their substitutes have made a massive, massive impact on what they've done this year. And, you know, with such a quick turnover of games, I think that's going to still prove quite pivotal. Obviously, Lee Tomlin's back up and running now. So I think for me, he's got that little bit of X factor that you need to help win games, whether it's creating chances or scoring them. So for me, I would certainly say, you know, it's theirs to lose now. One, they've got a little cushion. But again, looking at the games they've got, I'd expect them to be able to take more points. I think Swansea and Millwall have given themselves a chance with their recent form and picked up some big results themselves. And they've almost got a free shot at it now. They've just got to go and try and win the last two games. They're obviously relying on Cardiff to drop points. But, you know, all they can do is go out and focus on what they've got to do and see if it's good enough. But I've got to say, from my point of view, I expect Cardiff to finish in that top six.
A typical former Cardiff player there speaking to us. But is it fair to say that all three will be formidable in the playoffs as well? They've all performed well against the big teams at times this season.
Yeah, listen, again, it seems like we are repeating ourselves, but the Championship is the Championship. You know, there's no secrets to it. It's very consistent in its nature, as are, you know, the games that we see and the competitive nature of it. And again, traditionally, that team that comes through late or gets into the playoffs. And Cardiff have had a late surge, let's be honest, from where they came from. You know, Swansea have fallen away a little bit and now come back into it. Millwall, particularly since Gary Rowett's been there, have done fantastic. So whoever comes in and gets in that last place, I think we'll be very, very happy to be there. And again, that is a big, big psychological aspect moving into those playoffs where mentally you're prepared, you're geared up for it. And that can be a very, very dangerous thing. So whoever does sneak into that last spot will certainly be someone to be reckoned with.
Let's turn our attention, though, to the relegation battle now, though. And probably the biggest must-win for both teams this weekend is Hull against Luton. I'm guessing you prefer to be in Nathan Jones' camp now after that midweek performance from Hull.
Yeah, quite unbelievable. I was actually at home keeping an eye on all the results and I couldn't actually believe it. I checked the scores and I thought it must be full-time to start with and I thought, did I get the games mixed up? I checked it at 6-0 and it was just still before half-time and then 7-0. And I can't actually remember ever a team being 7-0 down at half-time. Like I was racking my brains. And, you know, that is a real... we talk about hide-ins, we talk about a team getting battered, but 7-0 at half-time was just incredible, really. And I think... for me, that would be a major, major concern. You look at other teams down there that are losing games. Charlton have been on the wrong end of some real narrow losses, but they've been in games. And you know, if I was Grant McCann, I would be asking questions of that dressing room. You know, 7-0, 8-0 in the end. You know, where are those characters? Where are those leaders that, again, you have bad days at the office, but at some point there's got to be someone out there that says, right, this is enough. You know, goal difference, again, can be a factor moving forward. So yeah, for me, a real disappointing one from their point of view, and it shows where they are really at this stage of the season to lose as badly as that is certainly that's not going to be very helpful for the last couple of games for them.
Yeah, as you mentioned, 7-0 down at half time. You've touched on this, but what does that say about this team that they can be in such a position? Like you mentioned, I certainly can't remember a team being 7-0 down at half time. You can't remember it. So what does it say about that dressing room and how it's going for them at the minute?
Yeah, listen, the biggest thing to say again is they're down. You know, they are really in a bad place, you know, mentally for a result like that to even happen. But they've got to shake it off as quickly as possible. And, you know, there's two ways of looking at it. One is that's it. They're dead and buried. You know, they can't recover from it. But for me, I would be challenging the players. You know, that is totally unacceptable, you know, on so many levels. And I would expect, I would demand, you know, a real response in the next game. You know, if those players in that dressing room have got anything about them, you know, when it comes to pride, you know, forget the relegation battle. You've just been beaten 8-0. So you need to come back and have a real big, big response and show that it was a one-off. And they shouldn't need any more motivation than one, trying to get out the relegation zone, and two, you know, coming off the back of such a poor, poor performance.
In a way, is that sort of a worry that there could be that reaction for Luton as well? He'll have to be cautious, won't he, Nathan Jones, in his approach for this match, because obviously the players have seen that result, so they'll be thinking that they're there for the taking.
Yeah, I mean, again, from Luton's perspective, you would be going into the game licking your lips off the back of some of the defending and lack of organisation, really, that we saw from Hull. But they can't be taking it for granted. You know, I would be expecting a reaction, particularly early on in that game. I would really expect Hull to come out the traps. But we know, you know, again, Nathan Jones, since going back into Luton, done a fantastic job. He's really managed to dig out some big, big results for them. And he will be very well prepared for that. And again, his teams, you know, at the very least, are going to be competitive. They're going to be in your face. And I can't see that being a big issue for them. So, you know, massive opportunity for them, you know, potentially to get themselves out the bottom three, which again, psychologically, having been in there for so long and being down there for so long, could be absolutely massive for them. And, you know, whatever happens, it's going to go down to the wire. But this could really be a big, big result if Luton can get a win.
Yeah, it would be an incredible achievement if they did manage to get safety this season. But Wigan take on Charlton as well in what could be a huge game, depending on what happens with Wigan's administration appeal. I think it's fair to say that this Charlton team won't lie down like Hull did, though, on Wednesday night.
No, you know, I think when you look at teams, and for me, a lot of the time, they do reflect the manager, and certainly Charlton do that with, you know, the fighting nature. And, you know, I spoke briefly earlier about some of their results. They've been on the wrong end of some real narrow losses. And again, for a team that's down there, you know, that's all you can ask for sometimes. Maybe the quality's not quite there. Of course, they've lost a real goal scorer in Lyle Taylor. I've been really pleased to see Macaulay Bonn, you know, score a couple of goals recently and get himself going and really contributing to try and keep them up. And listen, they're going to be in games, you know, they're going to work hard, they're going to really battle, and they're certainly not going to lie down. So I expect this to be a real tough encounter. From Wigan's point of view, again, you know, they've been absolutely on fire in terms of their form. And for me, personally, again, I'll reiterate, I'd like them to stay up on the basis of their football, because the results, you know, show that, you know, they've certainly been good enough to survive. So again, for them, this will be massive in terms of putting a bit of distance between them and certainly Charlton and the other teams below them, because we know they've got to make sure they're at least, you know, 12 points above that relegation zone. So, you know, again, a massive game with so much riding on it.
Yeah, but how, you've talked about narrow defeats for Charlton, but how disappointing will that have been for Charlton to concede that equaliser against Birmingham, though so late on, Lukas Jukovic scored that goal, especially with the games that they've got coming up now as well. Leeds, the last game of the season after this match, of course.
Yeah, that would be a real dagger to the heart, that conceding so late. You know, it's one of those, you come off the bus, after the game, and you'd be looking at the table, like, we could be 2 points better off, a little bit more of a cushion, takes a little bit of pressure off those games they've got left. But I think the pleasing thing is it's a game they feel they should have won, given that position they were in. And hopefully, from their point of view, it's not one that comes and, you know, bites them at the end of the season, because it's certainly 2 points lost, given how late they conceded. But they had been on a little run of losing. I think it was three games prior to that. So he stopped the rot there. And I think from their point of view, they'd be looking to go and, you know, try and get a result that will, again, help them get a little bit clearer of that relegation zone.
Well, part of the disappointment as well, being, you know, conceding that goal to Birmingham, a team that have been really struggling in recent weeks. And a point for them, obviously, is really beneficial. It sort of text them a little bit clearer of the situation as well.
Yeah, again, any teams that are below you or just near you, you don't want to give them points. And again, you feel as though, you know, you've given them a point by conceding so late there. And I think that's how sort of tight things are down there. You know, we could be talking about 1 point at the end of the season. You know, we could be talking about goal difference. And, you know, they're the games that you look back on because they're so fresh, and they've obviously dropped points previously, but where it's the running now, and it's so crucial to keep picking those points up. You know, they're one that they could look back on and be like, listen, man, we blew it with that 2 point section that we could have. So, yeah, every point at the moment is massive for all the clubs that are down there.
Yeah, who else do you see actually getting dragged into it as well? I mean, Stoke, Middlesbrough and Birmingham still have the chance to secure their safety this weekend, but still aren't mathematically safe at the moment.
Yeah, for me, it's going to be between... I feel as though Middlesbrough will be okay. I think Walnut's gone in and had the impact that people want, and they probably only need maybe a point. I think when you look at Stoke's games, they've got some tough games coming up. Although they've got the cushion, you know, if the other teams can pull off a couple of wins down there, then they could really, really get dragged into it. Again, Charlton, it's going to be so, so tight. I think we're going to be talking about the last day of the season, you know, different permutations. I really do believe it's going to go down to the wire. And whatever happens, it's going to be a real interesting day, not for those clubs, you know, of course, but certainly watching it from a neutral point of view, it's going to be incredibly interesting viewing.
Typical Championship, and that's why we love it so much. Joby, thanks for your time again this week.
Pleasure. Nice one, mate.
And that brings the show to a close. Don't forget to like and subscribe to the show if you've enjoyed it, and make sure to join us next week for our Sky Bet Championship playoffs preview. Bye for now.